Support for WGLT's Grow comes from FS Custom Turf by Evergreen FS. FS Custom Turf offers complete lawn and tree care services to preserve the health of yards, trees, and shrubs. Products and services detailed at evergreen-fs.com.
If you're paying attention, the amount of daylight hours is creeping up, and spring is only a few weeks away, making right now the perfect time to start developing 2020 gardening goals. This is WGLT's Gardening Podcast Grow with our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. I'm Mike McCurdy. Patrick, thanks for stopping by.
Always great to be with you, Mike.
So not a lot to do outside right now, so this is a good time to focus on the future?
I think it is a good time to plan for your 2020 garden goals. Like a charity, a fitness, or our personal finances, we need to think about a plan that is challenging but accomplishable. We can identify our priorities and relate our activities and start making our plans now. We're doing this with the economics and labor saving as the main objective.
So turf takes up a lot of American lawns. We've talked about that. Is that where we should start? And maybe part of the equation should be, what turf are you going to get rid of?
That's another good one to examine. So let's look at it this way, perhaps. I think turf is a great place to start because now, even when the ground is covered with melting and re-snow, it's easy to use the snow and the melting in that snow to find areas within your turf that are distressed or too thin, or where the low spots and the settling occur, because the snow will reveal that as it melts under the sunshine and the changing temperatures. And then there's also the case related to getting rid of turf. If you have spots in the landscape where the turf is damaged, where snow removal takes place over and over again, might be a good idea to kind of turn that into a planting area. So all you have to do is smooth the soil out and tamp a little mulch on it, and you're back in business.
It's also a good time to think about where didn't the grass grow well last year? And if you have a tree that's shady, maybe it's time to think about some sort of ground cover instead of turf.
That's a great idea.
I tried to flip this in my backyard and sort of, you know, every year try to get rid of a little turf. I think I got close to maybe 50-50. Mm-hmm. When I moved in, 90% of my lawn was turf. There was a planting bed that had some trees in it, but no real space to plant anything else. What can we plan for right now as it concerns planting beds or new planting beds?
Planting bed maintenance can be handled similar to the approach in doing turf repair, restoration, or renovation. We can make some estimation of what we need material-wise as far as our plan goes. But early pricing and scheduling is typical, starting as early as late March. So if it is a case where you're going to eliminate some turf and recreate that troubled turf area as a planting bed, you can still take advantage of the early planting scenarios and save yourself a little bit of money. And you also get a lot of help from the weather, because anything that we do when it comes to new planting or reestablishing, it's going to require that follow-up care that's going to go past Mother's Day, past Father's Day, and it's still going to be brand new, really, in the landscape when the heat shows up. So I think that that's part of the planning and the understanding for making those good solution changes.
I was getting 5 to 7 cubic yards of hardwood mulch delivered to my house every spring and dumped in the driveway. Then I had to sort of find the time very quickly to spread all of that because you couldn't use the driveway. Now would be a good time to sort of schedule that and then schedule the delivery and also schedule your time to get it.
Yeah, not just for money savings either, but let's break that down. 5 yards of mulch. Each yard is roughly 12 wheelbarrows of mulch. That's 60 wheelbarrows.
That was a lot.
And, you know, I've spread a lot of mulch. I've mowed a lot of grass, and I'm kind of getting tired of it. You know, I want to realize that landscape development bell curve, where I've worked and worked and worked, and the highest levels of work were in the front of the curve. I reached the top when I've accomplished my plan, and now I'm sliding down the curve on the other side because it's kind of starting to take care of itself a little bit. Mm-hmm. And all I'm having to do is be mindful of some watering and keep the weeds out of it. Putting the mulch down early, you save money and you get the best results out of having that mulch comp, you know, in the
and you're not mulching around plants that are already nearing their size for the season.
Yes,
you can do it as when they're just sprouts and they'll continue to come through.
Yeah, and then that avoids the lumpy mulch thing, and I've always had an issue with that. Yeah. So you can groom that nice mulch down, and you know you probably use a little extra mulch when you're not dodging around plants, but I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine too. And if you use a little extra mulch, I mean, I've actually gone a year without getting any mulch delivery. I just went out and just turned it, raked it,
used
a garden rake on it, and you know the stuff underneath is nice and dark.
That's a great.
So if you overdeliver 1 year, you might be able to skip the next.
I think that if people have a good 2 inches of mulch there from leftover from last year, and you get out and cultivate and take a look and assess how much you need, you might have all you need that's there.
So some people, I'm guilty of this, they fertilize whether they really know whether the planting bed or the turf needs it. Should we be testing planting beds and turf to see if we actually need to fertilize or what kind of fertilizer we should be using?
I say the answer is yes, Mike, because we're living in a world where sensitivity and stewardship of the environment is increasing, and I happen to think that's a wonderful thing. Even if you don't possess that understanding, put yourself in the shoes of, say, a farmer or somebody that's managing a humongous piece of property. Homeowners, municipal site managers, oftentimes, they're doing something that they've done year after year, and it's become a habit, mm-hmm. almost a ritual. Whereas the over-the-counter soil test on the minimum involvement side, or the mail it to some farm service that tests soil, it gives you the answers, and you can even test the soil and specify what answer you're looking for. It's very common that fertilizer is overapplied, or there's fertilizer there that's suspended or hung up in the soil that needs some other organic element
to release it.
Hmm,
interesting. And how often should the soil be tested?
I would say every couple of years, you know, and it should also be tested if you notice adverse changes in your program and the results. And the over-the-counter soil tests on the low involvement side, they're very inexpensive, so it wouldn't hurt for someone that's testing their soil for the first time. Get that over-the-counter soil test and test your soil 2 times in 1 year.
We talked about creating new planting beds. I assume now is also a good time to think about what plants you want to move or divide, because that could help fill out those new planting beds.
And I wanted to talk about that also, Mike, because I think that's something that I believe many gardeners and landscapers have in common. They look at their work, they understand the potential of the plant, and they also recognize, man, I was a little hasty when I planted that. It's a little close to the other stuff. It's a little close to the sidewalk. It's a little close to the driveway where my guests arrive. Spring is a great time to move many of the plants in our garden. Definitely the perennials. Most of the woody plants and most of the trees would be good candidates for what's called lifting. You dig the new site first, set the soil aside, go lift up the new plant, and immediately transfer it into the waiting hole.
And I always tried to take as much dirt with my transplanted plant as possible, so the plant didn't even really recognize it was being moved.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And if we do this early in the spring, we're catching the tail end of dormancy. So there are plenty of plants that are really sensitive about transplanting, and they're some of the plants we talked about today, the broadleafs. You do this as soon as the conditions allow, after early March gets here and the first day of spring is approaching, you're going to be successful.
I've had great success with dividing daylilies and hostas, and I do that right as they're just starting to pop up out of the ground. Look like little torpedoes coming out
of
the ground.
Get that good soil mixed up, the existing soil till mixed up with some mulch. And
nice flat edge, sharp flat edge spade, just divide it in half or quarter it, and you've got, you know, 4 times as many hostas as you had before.
That's a win-win.
If you have any gardening questions or landscape questions, like developing your plans for 2020, get in touch, share your questions, and we might answer them on an upcoming episode of Grow. I'm Mike McCurdy with Patrick Murphy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.